Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH, a podcast dedicated to youth issues. My name is Anglo, and with me, I have Nike.
Hello.
I just realized that we are the youngest podcast on TRS, but we're also, in a way, the oldest podcast on TRS, or one of the oldest podcasts. So we're both old and young.
That's right. So, evergreen.
Heck yeah, buddy. And by the way, I just got over a pretty bad cold, I think, or something. So
my
nose is rather stuffy. So if I sound a bit a little extra Semitic in my speech, you know why.
It's just the sinuses.
And my sinuses. Anyways, how are you doing today, Nike? It's a nice Tuesday.
Tuesday!
Oh, the day of days of the most important day for
us. Day of the week.
Yeah, my favorite meme.
I'm doing okay, all things considered.
Even though it's Tuesday.
Yeah, making the best of it.
Yeah, I enjoyed some Mexican food, unfortunately.
Oh, Taco Tuesday.
Hey, you know.
Every Friday night is Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, I do.
Now, you know what's been on my mind?
Taco Bell?
Sometimes, but not right now.
Get that Dorito taco.
I actually don't like it too much.
I like the Crunchwrap Supreme. Nothing could beat that.
I don't know if we've discussed this before, but the problem with the Dorito Loco taco, it's just it falls apart, man. They don't have a good way to actually create a solid shell.
Hmm.
That's why they have to use the cardboard holder to keep it all from crumbling.
Yeah, I guess Doritos are extra fragile or something.
You know what I do like? I like walking taco.
I don't know what that is.
It's like also called taco in a bag. So it's basically all the ingredients in tacos.
Inside of Doritos?
Inside a bag of Doritos that you just eat it with a spork.
Yeah. I remember that in school.
Yeah, that stuff is good. That's actually well done.
Stop talking about Taco Bell.
Okay, yeah, the real thing that was on my mind was this dumbass movie idea called Yesterday.
A movie idea, so is this your idea?
Well, no, it's coming out. It's not my idea, but just the concept of it alone bothers me. I just find it annoying. Yeah, basically this Pumlu Gurkha in the UK, he's got his guitar and a white GF. And he's just getting tiny gigs doing covers of the Beatles. And then all of a sudden, overnight, everybody just forgets that the Beatles ever existed in some freak accident.
Uh-huh.
And he becomes fabulously famous and wealthy by, inventing Beatles songs for a, big
generation that people that didn't grow up with it. And this is the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, yeah, so it's a historically applied, it's retroactive amnesia too. People who are around with the Beatles in the sane world timeline, they don't know the Beatles exists, and history has not known any of the original Beatles. There's no record of them ever existing.
Well, you brought up how this kind of ties in with a sort of fake Beatles mania that they try to do every 10 years.
Right. So the thing is, if you don't know, practically all of the Beatles' music, all the rights to the songs are owned by Universal Music Group, which if you're a fucking retard, you wouldn't know that it's the same company, essentially, as Universal Pictures, the movie company.
Yeah.
And because it's the same company, they can profit off of each other's intellectual property, right?
Yeah.
So because Universal Music Group has the rights to the songs, Universal Pictures can put the songs in their movies, which would otherwise be a multi-million dollar per track expense. So, the company holds on to the intellectual property for several years, starts to feel like, profits are down. They're going to try to come up with an idea to make some money again overnight. And then some dipshit in the boardroom says, let's bring back that Beatles track that we own and put a movie into it. And so that they make a movie around the Beatles music that they own. It's just the entertainment empire at work.
Uh-huh.
And now it's it's also got an aspect of white replacement in it, if you think about what the movie is.
Oh, yeah, because it's a Pajit,
Yeah, it's a Pajit who becomes the Beatles without having to do anything.
Except, he didn't do nothing.
He has to know how to play the songs, right? And he has to know the lyrics. And
he's a dark one, too. He's not like just, he's not like one of those good looking ones that kind of look halfway white. No, this nigga.
Yeah, he Dalit nigga.
Yeah, he Dalit. You know
Dalit
what I mean?
This.
Yeah, Dalit this movie.
Please.
Yeah, that's, wow. His name is Himesh Patel.
Wow.
He's like from Huntingdon, Cambridgeshire.
That last name is like one of my top three guesses.
Patel. It's like a Nguyen or Nugent for those.
Ted Nugent?
No, there's a.
No, I know. The Vietnamese is Nguyen.
Yeah. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think it's Nguyen.
Yeah. Or like Chong or something like that. Or Ching.
Chong, yeah.
Or Kim.
Right, right. All these Chinese people.
All these Chinese, Japanese, something have the same names.
Yeah.
The first nigga with the name Patel must have had a lot of kids.
I think they all do that, honestly.
But no, that is true. It's a replacement of, like, I mean, the Beatles are pretty gay. But.
Yeah, but it's just like weren't. It's a Indian, white thing. Bro.
Yeah, they were
like extremely white.
They're as white as can be. And they're replacing it with literal street shitter. You know what? Okay, so the picture, the poster for the movie is him crossing the street, like the Abbey Road picture.
Abbey Road. Yeah.
They should have just had him taking a shit on Abbey Road.
Abbey Road.
Yeah, because of course, if they're going to do a movie about the Beatles, they have to, for the poster, they have to have a recreation of the Abbey Road picture. And it's this brown guy on Abbey Road with a guitar. It's kind of like bad Photoshop, too. But they should have just had him taking a dump. That would have been...
That would have been hilarious. Did you want to interject anything else?
I don't know. I just think it's... do you know if he's dating a white girl, you said?
I'm pretty sure it's I've only seen the trailer, but I think it's made pretty clear that like there is some romantic interest, if not like an already established dating relationship.
It does say, okay,
in
this synopsis, it says
people,
a childhood best friend. So Pajit forever in the friend zone.
Oh, wow. Damn, son.
Even in the movie, even in the movies, like they can't get it. They can't open that nice bob from Lily James. She hot? Yeah, she's pretty hot, actually.
Yeah, she's not ugly. It's just an ugly concept.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty dumb. Like, it's stupid.
No, it's a blatant cash grab, and it's not clever. I can see what you're doing here, Universal Pictures.
Yeah, it's just a way to get more money for the Beatles. And it's not... Sometimes, like, a movie's plot could be so, like, absurd or stupid and cheesy that it's, like, kind of funny, you know? And that's, like, kind of the point of it.
Yeah.
This is like trying to be, it's not trying to be that. It's not trying to do this ironically. Like, it doesn't ironically have a bad plot. It's just, we want to make money.
I don't know. It might even go ironic. Because if you look at the, if you watch the trailer, what happens is like there's this planetary power outage.
Uh-huh.
And our unsanitary protagonist is riding a bike at night. When all the power goes out, then he gets hit by a bus and knocked into the Thames River.
And then Jamaican steals bike when he's
probably
off.
Probably.
Oi, brat, 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 mate. Skibbity bop bop. Yeah, junglist style. I'm gonna nick your bike, junglist style.
Yeah, don't know.
Yup. Yeah.
So. I could easily see this as like all the big reveal at the end is it's like a dream sequence because he's been in a coma because he got hit by
the bus. That's got to be that.
And like that would explain why, you know, a planetary power outage is even feasible and like why it would why such an event would result in everybody forgetting who the Beatles are.
Yeah, it's like weird.
This is like an illogical deus ex machina.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess it's the anti machina.
Yeah, it's
amnesia from a lack of machine.
There's no electricity.
Non memory.
Hey, it's starring Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran?
Wait, How do you say it? Is it
Ed
Sheeran?
Sheeran.
Oh, Sheeran rap.
Yeah, I guess he's going to be a cameo or something.
He's probably still going to be gay in it. He's going to be gay in it? Is that his going to be his thing?
I don't know. I don't think Ed Sheeran is actually gay in real life.
I know,
right?
But he looks gay. Nah. I just don't like people with big faces and big heads, and he has one. It's not gingers. Like, I don't hate gingers. I don't know. He has just that face. Like, he reminds me of, like, a little brat. He has a face of, like, a little brat. But he's
you just
like,
want to give him time out?
Yeah, but he's, like, 28 years old. I'm like... He's like way older than me, but I just don't want to say no.
You want to spank Ed Sheeran?
Stop being cheeky. Go back in your corner, you wanker.
I want to send them to his room without dinner.
Yeah. Without supper. Or whatever they say.
Without supper, yeah.
You can't have your beans and mash.
How can you have any pudding if you can't eat your meat?
Yeah.
You just have a fantasy about being an abusive father to Ed Sheeran.
That's my kink, as they say. On Tumblr.
Hey, babe, I need you to dress like Ed Sheeran, and I need to pretend to be a bad father to you.
Hey, this is a reminder, guys, that they took porno. I mean, we all know this, but it's just a good thing to think about. They took porno off of Tumblr. Let's just give that a moment of appreciation. Like, now. Thoughts can't do their little thing on Tumblr because I bet you girls are making a lot of money on that and sharing their pictures on there. And well, now they can't. Sex work is not real work. It's work that will doom you to hell, perhaps, if you don't ask for forgiveness.
Perhaps.
Or if you don't awaken to Jesus. But besides that, it's like, yeah. So I'm glad that Tumblr took away the pornos because everyone was pissed. But they're still on it, so.
I remember one of my friends in high school telling me that he used to have his porn Tumblr.
Oh, gosh, man. What if?
Or he would just, like, you know, explore his sexual fantasies through pornography as, like, you know, a young teenager.
Yeah, a young teenager in high school.
Well, he said he didn't have it in high school, that it was presumably earlier than that, and I guess that must have implied like either like a freshman in high school or even earlier.
Holy moly.
It's like I can understand like maybe you had seen pornography before high school, but it's like you didn't
like actively seek it out and have your own profile wherein you like pinned things and like
reblog.
There you go. Forgot the term. See, I was around
your favorite GIFs.
I wouldn't say I was from the first generation of Tumblr people, because I think that's a little bit older than me. But like, I was kind of in Tumblr at like 2013, 2014, and mostly to follow my friends, which you know were girls. I was trying to you know be their boyfriend. But anyways, like these girls were like 17 at the time, younger or a little bit older, and they're just like sharing hardcore porn and like weird. And like, here's a cassette tape from a band I like. Oh, here's some like something aesthetic. Oh, here's like BDSM porn. And these girls were like underage. And I don't know. It was weird. And I was young too.
We're not going to make it, man.
We're doomed. And just imagine like it was bad for me. If you
say we are all going to make it. It's just sometimes I'm faced with like anecdotes that's sort of like. Nah.
Like, what I have to say is that this was a few years ago, right? So I assume it's worse now. That
well, not anymore. At least on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah, true. But I bet you before the ban, you know. It's like, yeah.
The damage was done.
Some e-girl, because, like, yeah, my friends were, like, e-girls before that was a term. You know what I mean? Like, those weird goth, like, art ho girls. And so what they would do is, you know, share, like, oh, here's my noise cassette, and here's, like, some BDSM porn. And it would honestly traumatize me. I'm like, why are you sharing this? I'm grossed out.
You're going to call your mom.
I'm going to call their mom.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you call their parents and be
oh,
like...
Oh, I thought you said, like, call my mom, like, from my room. Mom, what's on the computer?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just
I mean,
call
actually...
their parents and be like, hey, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad.
No, it's just absolutely terrible.
We live in the worst of all possible worlds, maybe. No, I don't know. Let's not get into that discussion.
We're pretty damn close to it, fam. If this ain't the worst of all possible worlds, it's pretty damn close.
You're definitely not a Leibniz guy, are you?
Yeah, I don't think this is the best. If you had to ask my honest opinion, if we're living in the best of all possible worlds, I'd be like, nah.
But wouldn't it be the best one if God created it?
It would be the only one if God created it, and that's what I think is true.
That's my opinion.
I think if you're talking about something that only exists as a one thing,
you can't compare
there is no
better or worse.
Then it can only be best and worst.
Yeah,
so it is both. Only.
It is the one.
Well, I don't think best or worst has any meaning without a relative.
Without there being multiple ones to compare it to.
Yeah, it's a relative like other objects.
It's a relative term.
Whoa, man. What if you had, like, platonic forms?
Yeah, exactly.
But also had, like, non-linear time.
You do that. You should be a voice actor, homie. I wish I could.
Why would
that.
I do that when I can do podcasts for free?
Yeah, that's true. Or you could give us donations and it's no longer free.
I donate my talent to, I don't know, to keep you from, like, watching Netflix.
Yeah,
dear listener.
Don't be
honestly.
One of those...
That's one of the biggest reason why I do this is because I don't want you watching any
Netflix.
Alternative. Like, if you're one of those people who are like 24/7, or you know, all your waking entertainment hours are spent not giving money and attention to Zog Inc., then I feel like I've done something worth my time.
I actually I watched something on, what was it, Amazon Prime or something like that, through like their Showtime app. It's like the first time I actually actively went and watched a movie through a streaming service, and I felt kind of naughty. And guess what it was about?
I don't know, animals?
No, it's a musician.
That was my second guess, was music.
Yeah, but which musician do you think?
I don't know, G.G. Allin?
Yes! It was a documentary about G.G. Allin. His brother is still alive and his mom is still alive. And it's just kind of their life after G.G. Allin's death. And it's kind of touching in some ways. Besides the part where his brother paints a picture with poop. That's really gross.
He's like Julian Assange.
What?
You remember when they arrested Assange? They accused him of like drawing on the walls with feces.
Oh, gosh. I think that kind of came back to my brain, my memory. Oh. Yeah, he's Julian Assange. Well, like his brother played in the band with him, so he's not
Julian Assange.
His brother used to have like a Hitler mustache when he played in the band.
Nice.
Yeah, and would sometimes wear like a KKK t-shirt to get people mad. But anyways, like it was very degenerate, you know, because they're degenerate. But it's just interesting seeing how his mom, you know, thinks about him, and you learn a bit about their family life up in rural New Hampshire. They live like in a cabin without any power or electricity, and their dad was abusive. And yeah, it's interesting.
Trad as fuck.
Yeah. Well, like they had to leave their father because he was abusive, and so the mom took the two sons away, and they moved to like the city, or what was considered the city to them, you know. And only then,
wow, then he becomes a degenerate. Huh?
Then he becomes like the biggest degenerate of all time.
Imagine my shock.
So
you
it's
leave,
like...
you know, trad cabin in the woods for big gay megalopolis.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, like not real. Well, it's like a, but you know what I mean. Yeah, like a little town in Vermont. But you know, still compared to. Still, it
well,
was
I
like
a relative population density change. It's significant.
Yeah. So it's
interesting. Also Vermont as opposed to New Hampshire, which is implicitly like 50% more gay.
Mm.
New Hampshire's actually a Chad state, whereas Vermont's just a fag state. Mm. Them niggas ain't done anything impressive since Ethan Allen.
You have a vendetta against, you have a hatred against Vermont. I know we have a listener from there.
Yeah, well, hopefully he should be a listener from not there soon. If he
Why?
Knows what's good for it.
It's
Why?
Like 90, because, isn't it like 98% white?
Vermont is just like, it's become the new Massachusetts.
That is true, but I heard like in the rural areas it's not as...
Sure, in the rural areas, but like you're still like going to be under the thumb of...
Of a bunch of city fags who move there to be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Go to New Hampshire, white man. Go to Maine. Abandon Vermont. We should, here's the plan. We're going to, every white man of good moral character is going to abandon the state of Vermont.
For New Hampshire.
And for all surrounding states. And then we will institute an interstate blockade of New Hampshire to prevent any resources from reaching it and force the entirety of the state into capitulation.
You mean Vermont? You said New Hampshire.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, Vermont is the state we're going to blockade.
Yeah, yeah.
And it won't be hard either, because a lot of the border with New York is river.
Yeah.
And there, aside from that, there's only a number of key roads that can actually, you know, make it into the state that's not forest. So what, you know, the parts that aren't blocked by water with New York are blocked by forest, and the rest of the choke points can be, you know, physically blockaded, thus, you know, forcing Vermont into a state of surrender, which we can enforce our demands.
So I guess we're going to gas Vermont in Minecraft.
Siege!
Yeah. That's a... Well, I want to talk about a book that some
that
parents...
That isn't Siege.
No, yeah, it's not Siege. But that maybe a New York transplant that moved to Vermont would read to their kids. So I found this at in the children's section at Barnes & Noble. We went over a book from this series before. It was the What Was series, or Who Is, or Who Was series. So
who's
the last book,
this series.
So the last book we did, what we did was What Was the Holocaust?
Whomst was Rosa Parks?
Yeah, and so that's like the general theme of the series. It's like, what was the American Revolution? Who was Rosa Parks? Who is George Bush? Stuff like that, and what. What were the Twin Towers, which is one of them? I don't know. But there's one that I found, and I couldn't believe this. This is the worst one, I think, that exists. And I bought it because it's like $5, and it's like, I got to get this and read this for the show. It is called What Was Stonewall? And for those who don't know about Stonewall, I guess we could read from the book. But on the picture...
He was a great general of the South.
Yeah, maybe. Or... I don't know if that's their intention. Well, first off, it has like a gay flag in the corner where it says
oh, no.
16 pages of photos inside.
I can assure you Mr. Stonewall Jackson was not a homosexual.
And the cover is trannies and gay people with big heads, because that's their style in this series, with big and enlarged heads, like throwing rocks
full
at police.
Of, like, swelling from
AIDS. So, yeah, let's read it. Let's read about Stonewall. So this is the first chapter. What was Stonewall? And it has a illustration of a scene from June 26, 2015, Greenwich Village, New York City. It was a Friday, and folks at the Stonewall Inn were celebrating. The world-famous gay bar was packed. People hugged and cheered inside the bar and outside on Christopher Street.
More like fugged and cheered.
Everyone had come to celebrate a ruling.
Oh my God, no!
A ruling from the Supreme Court. Now it was legal in all 50 states for same-sex couples to marry. Marriage is important, not only for emotional reasons, but for practical reasons as well. Married people can own property together, and they pay lower taxes. Going libertarian on us right here. They can also be covered under the same health care insurance. Blah, 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 blah. It shows another illustration of a white man and a black man getting married. It looks like an Episcopalian church.
Course.
Many LGBTQ plus people have been waiting for this moment for a long time to see the Stonewall Inn. One might wonder, what makes it so special? From the outside, it is not a particularly pretty establishment. Inside,
and on the inside, it only gets worse.
Yeah, and the inside, it looks like Ken's birthday party.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why did so many New Yorkers celebrate there? Because almost 50 years earlier, something happened at Stonewall. Something that would change a course of history for LGBTQ plus Americans. On June 28th, 1969, police raided the Stonewall Inn and began arresting people.
Yay!
This had happened many times before at Stonewall and at other gay-friendly bars in the city. But on that hot summer night, to the cops' surprise, the people at Stonewall fought back. And they fought hard. Hard.
Dicks erect.
Yeah. It has a little chapter on what does it mean to be LGBTQ? It just defines terms like
it gay. Means you gay, nigga.
Yeah, it means you're gay.
You gay.
Queer, once considered an offensive term, some people have reclaimed it to refer to any identity that is not strictly heterosexual. Some queer people prefer to be called they instead of he or she. It just gives some information about the village, the village, which is where Stonewall Inn is at, the Greenwich Village. Popular place for gay people since the 1800s. It talks about Paff's Underground Saloon, where people like Walt Whitman met and did stuff, I guess.
Raped nothing, boys?
Probably. It became the center of New York's bohemian culture. Yada, yada, yada. Talks about the drag balls. I mean,
oh, God!
The drag balls, which were held in Harlem.
Oh, my God.
And as a chapter on Strike a Pose on the Vogue dance.
Eric Stryker pose.
Yeah. Which is funny. And
I'm doing
where is
my
this?
Eric Stryker pose with my arms straight up.
Yeah, my feet sitting comfortably on my wheelchair. When the United States entered World War I in 1917, American soldiers sailed to Europe from New York City. Many visited Greenwich Village before shipping off. People, for the first time ever, they saw openly queer people. Many American women moved to cities like New York to fill the jobs left open by soldiers. In these lively places, away from home, and the pressure to marry and raise children, some women realized they were gay. Meanwhile, some American queer soldiers visited cities like Paris and Berlin, where queer culture was even more open than it was in NYC. When they returned, some men began a new life, and many settled in the village. And it talks about the different, things going on. Talks about prohibition and blah, 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 blah.
Hey, you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
How come the two most notorious, gay cities in the United States have only received that reputation because of their connection to the U.S. military? Hey, Tom, how come all these cities with the vets are so gay?
I don't know. Tell me.
You ever notice how San Francisco where... Yeah.
What is this, military going on there or something? Doing stuff over there?
Well, they got the San Francisco Bay, right?
Yeah.
They got the naval base in San Francisco Bay.
They got the naval base and the anal rape, right?
Anal base? Anal base? I don't know.
Yeah, it's gross. Stuff,
I don't care to think about it too much, but...
Yeah,
don't
tell Nona you've been thinking about these things, huh?
Don't tell Nona about this. No.
No.
You know, they...
No, don't tell Nona.
That's where they had the dishonorable discharges go to in...
Discharge? What are you saying?
Hey, I ain't saying. I'm just saying. The dishonorable discharge, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And queers?
Yeah.
And kicked out?
You gay in the military, they kick you out.
And they're like...
That was when they had don't ask, don't tell, and don't be gay.
Now it's like, do ask and please tell. That's the new policy.
Yeah. But, you know, that's how the city of San Francisco became so gay. It's because that's where they dropped the gays out.
That's
And
gross.
Now you're telling me the same thing in Greenwich Village.
Hey, Mama always said never go around that area, right?
That she did.
Yeah,
she
stay did. In Brooklyn, right?
Nah, it's Queens, baby.
True. No, it's Long Island now. Not even Queens anymore. Wait, is Long Island in Queens? I don't know. Who cares?
New York. Fuck New York.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's one page. This is the most important page of the whole book, in my opinion, because this is how bad the propaganda is. This is on page 23 of the book. You can look at this yourself. And it talks about a guy called Harry Hay. Harry Hay was a 38-year-old gay man in Los Angeles, and he founded the Mattachine Society.
Hay was fucking gay.
Yeah, and blah, 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 talks about him and his little society. That's not the part that really matters. What matters is that I want you guys to Google Harry Hay and look at one of the organizations that he supported. It starts with an N. It's called NAMBLA. So,
ooh.
The North American Man-Boy Love Association, NAMLA, is a pedophilia and pederasty advocacy organization in the United States. It works to abolish age of consent laws criminalizing adult sexual involvement with minors.
Your kids are reading books about people who were active, or at least supporters, of NAMLA. So,
funny how they put that in a kid's book, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, what do they mean by this?
I don't know. It's not something good.
Really strange, yes, to me.
These people are weird, bro. Well, now it just talks about the Stonewall Inn and how it became a gay club, and I assume they just drank there. They didn't do anything else at all, like nothing gross.
Yeah, not like it was the bone wall.
Yeah. But apparently on Tuesday, June 24th, 1969, the police wanted to raid the bar because of the illegal alcohol or whatever that was going on there. But it was because of homophobia deep down. That's my own little thing added. It's kind of like the implied thing. And talks about how the cops got there. Then when they were upset, the gays started going out. And here's a page that really teaches kids to be rebellious toward authority figures and just think that it's okay to riot. I'm just going to read this, these two pages. So this is called Chapter 5, Uprising. For many in the crowd, their anger had been building for years. It was time to fight back. Dirty coppers, people screamed as they pelted the police with copper pennies. Then came nickels and quarters, then glass bottles, cobblestones from the street, bricks from a nearby construction site. Must have had some big brains there. People ran through the streets, telling others to join the fight. They called friends on payphones and said to get down to the village pronto. Pigs, the crowd roared at the cops. They rocked the police cars and paddy wagon back and forth. That's pretty racist, paddy wagon, to be honest.
Yeah, more like faggy wagon.
They slashed tires. Craig Rodwell led a chant of gay power. My assistant said he actually didn't say gay power. What he was saying with his fist up in the air, he's like, gape hour, gape hour.
Oh, it's that time of day, huh?
Yeah. He was just saying it was gay power. He didn't say gay power.
He was looking at his watch.
Yeah.
The end of his wrist.
He was like, hey, it's gay power.
What are we doing out here? It's gay power.
Seymour Pine ordered the police cars to flee the scene. That's like a policeman. That left him and seven others to face off against a violent mob. He says it was as bad as any situation that I had met in during the army, the World War II veteran later said. Now, what a tragedy. A
bunch of fucking fags.
He goes to fight, you know, the evil Nazis, and all he gets as a reward.
Thank God he's not speaking German.
Well, here's the thing. Like, they always talk about, you know, our World War II veterans being like Antifa, right? That they only pull that out on certain occasions. They don't actually believe it. I know they don't, but
I feel like that's more like liberals who do that, not actual anarchists.
Yeah.
I have to give them like some credit to what they actually believe. Like,
yeah, but you know, no, yeah, true for that, for like the real Antifa, but like the liberals, you're right. Liberals, they're, you know, like they always talk bad, like, oh, my great grandfather was so racist, and oh, the 40s and 50s were so bad.
But the next day he's like, he beat the Nazis.
Yeah. But like, you would have called him a Nazi if he were still alive, you know, for like saying.
You could be like, my grandpa beat those fucking Jap Nazis. Wonder how that one would play over. Dude, those fucking Jap Nazis. I hate them.
This further angered the crowd.
Those buck-toothed, slant-eyed Nazis.
The crowd was angry. Stonewall was theirs. How dare the cops occupy it? Well, you're doing illegal things there, buddy. The hail of bricks and bottles continued, shattering the bar's glass windows. And a team of drag queens went outside, and they're just causing a ruckus, ripping up parking meters out of the sidewalk. That's some retard strength if I've ever heard of any.
Stuffing it in their ass.
So basically it's them like literally like destroying everything in the surrounding. And this book is glorifying. It's for children. This is for children. It's in the children's section at Barnes & Noble.
Normalize violent confrontations with police for kids.
Yeah, for kids, for children. And it's depressing. And they have a little chapter on Harvey Milk. He's dead. Rest in peace, right? Maybe not.
Rest in piss.
Oh. And it talks about, like, the stigma associated with homosexuality, how it was considered a mental health disorder, and blah, 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 blah.
Where is the lie?
And they have a whole chapter called Crisis, which talks about AIDS. And how gay people have AIDS, basically, and we should feel sad when they could have just, like, not had sex with the other, the same gender. And it ends with, like, a chapter, like, kind of worshiping Bill Clinton, because he's, like, the first president to, I guess, recognize AIDS or something.
He also passed DOMA.
What is that? DOMA the Rock?
Yeah, DOMA the Rock, the Defense of Marriage Act.
Oh.
DOMA the Rock, as in I'm going to dome you with this rock. Fucking fag.
Yeah, but it's just there's a illustrated picture of Ellen DeGeneres receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Barack Obama.
Is it like Big Head Obama putting it on?
Oh no, the illustrations inside aren't Big Head.
Damn it!
That would be funny.
I think that would be funny. You know, just seeing like having this because they have to make the medal large as well. Otherwise, like. You know, you'd be depicting, like, Obama trying to squeeze this little rope around the top of Ellen's giant head.
This is the last chapter, I think. The struggle continues. And they talk about, in 2015, some officials, after the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage, some officials in the South, they have to mention the South, of course, refused to give marriage license to same-sex couples.
Yeah, Kim Davis.
Kim Davis, a county clerk in Kentucky, said she was acting under God's authority. She was eventually jailed for 5 days. And they have like an illustration of Kim Davis looking like evil or just
state enforced homosexuality.
And they have Pulse Nightclub.
Really?
Yeah, they don't have an illustration of him doing it though. That would have been kind of funny.
I just want to see Big Head Omar shooting up in the club.
Oh my. And it's just like gay. That's the end of it. The rest is just like fluff related to it. Just nothing important. But I just wanted you guys to know that your kids are being taught these things. They're being taught about a radical group of homosexuals committing crimes.
Be gay, do crime. Isn't that what they say?
I don't know. I guess that's what they say nowadays.
I hear unironically, that's a little slogan they have.
Yeah, that's what they're teaching. And this isn't the only Stonewall book that was there. The other one was like $20. It was a picture book about Stonewall. So there were like two. There may have been more. And one of my favorite ones, which wasn't related to this, was, "What would it be like if I were a slave?" Or something. That was the name of the book. Something like that. I'm like, whoa.
Lit, son. Yo, slavery's lit, litty.
And then they had the People's History of the United States, but like a children's version. They had a book called like 101 Rad Women or something like that. And it was like communist activists and stuff like this.
101 Knights of Sodom.
And then they had a book called Woke Baby. It was just a black kid. It was like you know, for like 3-year-olds. It was like, "Woke Baby stands up for what he believes in. Woke Baby. Woke Baby does
diaper.
Woke Baby shit in his pants.
Woke Baby poo poo pee pee caca."
Yeah, that's what Woke Baby do. And the last one that really was funny, there was this book, I forgot what it was called. It was like Against Hate or something like that. Something about loving people. And they had like a list of slogans that, you know, in one of the pages, and one of them said, "Hate not welcome here." So it's just teaching kids to be Antifa. That's really what they're doing. That's literally what they're doing. They're teaching kids to be Antifa. And if you're wondering, like, you know, I mean, if you need more proof that the Capitol is working with Antifa, just look at the fact that they're literally selling Antifa manuals to kids at bookstores, teaching them to be rad libs. Teaching them to hate whitey and to be gay and to like get AIDS and to riot in the street because the police want to shut down your illegal gay Sodom den, you know, and this is at
you're right.
This is at Barnes and Noble. This is a big company. They're billionaires. People who write these books make a lot of money. Probably they make more money than your dad. Your dad who works a construction job cannot even make nearly as much money.
Not even close
to what this faggot who wrote this book makes. But I bet you anything. And they talk about being oppressed working class people. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
They're hand in hand with capital working toward your destruction.
More like crapital.
Yeah, it's gay. And I want to do a final thing by throwing the book on the floor. If you could hear that.
I heard it.
It was very.
I heard that, but more importantly, I heard that.
Yeah, I heard the message behind it. Feel me?
Exactly.
There's also another book, which was called like How to Be Famous, How to Be Internet Famous, or something, and it was just basically a book of narcissism for children.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, it's just miserable. I'm so sad because when I used to go to the Barnes & Noble kids section, yeah, they'd have like a book on Rosa Parks, whatever. But they wouldn't have this. They would like have Rosa Parks books and then the book on Legos or something like that. How to Draw Dinosaurs, you know. But now they have this for kids.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's crazy. Imagine if they had a book like who was, you know, Cordriano, like a positive. Like they, it's like the same thing. This is like radical leftist stuff that they're selling at the bookstore for kids. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. Just, you know, get your who was Codrianu along with your Funko Pop Codrianu.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
The big head Codrianu. In a related note, I actually was reading that today, but then I realized that we were going to record soon in like an hour, so I stopped reading For My Legionaries to read this book. And it's so, you know, it's written for kids, so you could like skim it really quick. But it's, I like took...
Got to do a kid's version for my little legionaries.
Yeah. From my niglets. From my niglets.
My legionariettes.
For my juggalettes. Well, do you want to transfer to some promposals that are going on?
Sure. We've had some interesting in the fucking based promposals from, you know, the very well humored and well intentioned youth.
Yes.
Well, do you want to introduce the story, or should we just like cut straight to the chase?
I think we should just cut straight to the chase. Let's just go dive, do a deep dive.
Unfortunately,
If you don't have it open, then is that your signal for me to start reading it?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the picture that's not censored. Okay, I think no, all of these pictures are now censored. This is some ass. I am disappointed, but the poster starts off, Biana, you are racist, but I would give anything for you to go to prom with me.
Oh, okay. Don't know why he had to mention that.
Well, interestingly enough, if you see the poster, there's a few choice letters highlighted in this poster, this promposal poster. And, well, if you follow in order, the bold, black letters include N,
okay.
I, G,
okay. Nigeria,
E,
what?
R.
Oh, gamer?
Yes.
The N word? The nigger word?
Indeed, the very same.
So this promposal caused outrage, as the title of this article says.
Who's outraged? I'm not outraged.
I don't know. I'm not. It's kind of funny. It's really funny.
It's hilarious. It's legitimately great.
Several students and parents have demanded that the school investigate the photograph. Like, what do I need to investigate? It's there. You see it. It happened. All right, there you go. You're done.
Yep, I've investigated as much as I'd like to. Maybe I'll investigate it next time I'm feeling sad.
I like this quote. I'm just going to stop it in the middle of the sentence so it makes sense to us. At this time, I'm asking all teachers and parents in our school community to join me in reminding our students that we live in a society.
Perfect. Perfect.
Who's Tyner? Principal Tyner wrote a letter on the school's website that he plans to meet with all students to review appropriate behavior and how the use of hurtful racial slurs like the one used in this recent picture is unacceptable.
You know, people never learn. They never learn about the Streisand effect.
What is that? When your nose gets bigger, and you just start looking uglier as you get older?
Yeah, it just starts hooking down as you become a screaming, retching yenta.
Yeah, I mean, like, she has always been ugly, but since she was, like, 19, like, she, you know, any 19-year-old looks kind of good. So you kind of get over that, like, weird Jew face. But once she, like, hit adulthood, like, real adulthood, she's like, nah, she is a gremlin. Anyways.
Yeah, no, the Streisand effect is a social phenomenon that when you try to cover something up, it'll only further exacerbate public consciousness of said thing. So, you know, this is especially, I mean, this was a phenomenon attributed to the internet. And this is only more true as a social reality when you're talking about teenagers in high school. So it's like, oh, you bring everybody in high school to say, don't say nigger, please. Yeah. It's bad. What do you think is going to happen?
People are going to say gamer.
Yep. It's time for the hard R.
Yeah. It's
Tyner. Principal Tyner.
Oh. Hard R
in his name.
Well, yeah, like they could have totally, you know, made this less tempting to teenagers by like not focusing on it and just like putting it under the rug, so to speak. You know what I mean? And just like not talking about it.
If you say the guy's full name fast, Alantiner, you know.
Alantiner, a lantern, a lantern.
You can if you meme that hard enough, you can make the guy upset.
Well, this is something that's been happening in schools across the country, in Ohio, New York, Texas, Arizona, and East LA. That's like 99% Mexican.
There's some other interesting promposals. One from New York says, if I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but I'm white, so I'm picking you. ?
That's funny. That's a good one. It's cute.
Yeah, it looks like it's caught on at other schools, too, because I see it totally different. I see two totally different signs that are the same, same message, but different people. Actually, three. So there's four people. Five. I see five.
Uh-huh.
Five different kids going with this. If I was black, I'd be picking cotton. Nope. Here, dicks.
Wow.
We got six. I'm going to keep looking. Seven. Eight. Not even kidding. Nine. This is a popular line. 9 different 10.
Whoa.
No, I've seen that one already. I'll cut it off there, but we got 9.
Uh-huh.
9 different students across this United States, and all of them making this funny joke, this clever little invitation. And I guess it means genocide tomorrow, according to these people.
Yeah. Well, it talks about it.
Here's one. It's got a picture of a tree and a little jigaboo hanging in front of it, and it says, "Do you want to be like a nigger and hang in prom?"
Oh gosh, that's the Adam Waffen version of prom puzzle.
Adam Waffen prom. Instead of like having a prom king and queen, it's too reactionary for Adam Waffen, so you only can have a prom Führer.
Yeah.
I'm the Führer, so there is no queen.
It talks about other things that have been happening in predominantly white, wealthy communities in Southern California. Like earlier this month in the Newport Mesa Unified School District, they investigated a series of overtly racist messages. Like, here's an example. One group member asked if anyone wanted some souvenir while he was in Alabama and Mississippi, noting, "I'll get you a real Confederate flag." Another person in the group then asked, "Do they still sell black people down there?" The group member responded, "If they do, I'll get everyone a new plantation worker." And this made the same school made national headlines when a group of students did the red solo cup Nazi swastika. And just other instances of racism from these problematic white folk in SoCal.
Red solo cup, rounding Jews up. Red solo party, a Nazi party.
Red solo cup. I don't know.
Don't do another verse if you ain't ready to finish that, son. Weak.
No, man, that's how I work, though. Usually if I, like, push it, it comes out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Nope, don't even try it if you don't have it.
Yeah.
That's like drawing a gun first when you know it's empty. Just a bad move.
I just need to figure something out for that.
I have a listicle for most racist promposals, and we got some interesting ones here. So here's a white boy asking out a black girl. He made crowns out of KFC buckets. gave her a nice bouquet of roses, and his sign says, "I prefer dark meat, prom." That's here's a similar one in a similar vein. Another blonde white boy asking out a negress, offering her a watermelon and a box of, I guess it looks like a KFC biscuit box. But it says, "It would be cool if you'd be my chick at prom." And cool is spelled out with packets of Kool-Aid.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like 3 Ks.
No, but apparently she said yes, as she's smiling with this lad in the photo here.
The thing I don't understand is that, like, even black students think this stuff's funny sometimes.
I mean, here are these white dudes asking these black girls to prom. With these racist signs. I mean,
one of them said yes for sure.
Yes, that is true. The Kool-Aid one, and I presume the I prefer dark meat also said yes. Why you have to be mad? It's only prom.
Yeah, it's only prom.
Okay, here's one with a Confederate flag in the background, but the signs are innocuous. You know, we got multiple signs. The first one says, "Hopefully this isn't a hazard, but I would generally like to go to prom with you." It's got, you know, the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard.
Very racist.
Yeah, how racist. Look at these fucking honkies going to prom.
That's horrible.
Nah, this is nice. I like this. Because this is, you know, white people asking each other to prom. Doing normal shit. Get over it.
White Zio cuck, your time is up.
Hop in my oven.
Are those all the racist ones, or are they just all gay?
Here's a white girl asking a mulatto
to No! prom.
And she
white women cancel.
Her caption on this photo says, "The correct way to ask a black guy to prom," and it's just a watermelon with the word "prom" written on it. See, I mean, how these people gonna be made?
It's the prank.
Is a joke. Here's one with a Cuban flag on it. It says, "Before Trump deports you, prom?" Question mark.
That's funny.
And I guess it's this white girl asking this Cuban boy in a Trump shirt prom.
So apparently Palos Verdes Estates, which is where this is at, is what is it? It is 73% non-Hispanic white, which is a lot for LA, for Southern for California, or like the West Coast. I was just going to say things. Well, I wonder how many of those are Jewish, to be honest, with a name called Palos Verdes Estates. I never heard of this place.
I don't know.
Probably like
20. What do you think, you know, racist Jew promposals would be like? You know, it would be a bomb if I ran to prom with you.
Oh, the city was master planned? So it's a planned community? Whoa, trippy. I wonder what it looks like. It probably just sucks. It's probably some... Oh, yeah, this is like some millionaire place, dude. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these kids are Jewish, to be honest.
You know.
Because rich Jews, I've heard, like, they're still kind of, you know.
Maybe they have a sign that says, "A next thing I must ask you is to go lawn a prom with me."
Go lawn.
I must ask you a question.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was,
question mark.
But I was going to, like, be, that's too shitty.
That's the only thing I can think of. The thing is, you know, it's not supposed to be, you know, the best poem ever.
Yeah, yeah,
it's the prom thing. It's like, it ain't that deep. It's prom. You're both going to college, like, in less than...
A few months or whatever.
Yeah, like a few months. So, you know, maybe this is the last time you see each other for a while. Here's one. Sweethearts would be a Hitler with you, and I could not see myself with anyone else. Be mine, yes or nine?
Like, everyone, there was a kid that was the only Jewish kid I ever, like, really knew. He was, like, a quarter Jewish. That's how un-Jewish the area I'm from is. He was, like, a quarter Jewish, but even he would make, like, Holocaust jokes and stuff. He'd be like...
Bro, you don't think I bantered with Jews at my school about the Holocaust? You got another thing coming, so...
Yeah, I probably would have, but there were no Jews.
I've been doing that since middle school. Come on. You don't think I didn't engage in some childhood banter about something I thought I sincerely thought at the time was absolutely horrible.
Yeah. But
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
made it funny, you fucking retards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even when I sincerely believed everything about it, you know, I thought it was fine to crack jokes because, like, it is. It's okay, man. We're all going to live. And, you know, it's only in these moments of taking the piss that we actually, you know, delay Rahoa.
Wow, so Compton.
What do you think?
Wait, I wasn't really. I was reading the demographics of Compton, which is 0.8% white.
Yeah, don't go there.
I'm like, oh, Is that in LA County? I guess it is. Anyways, what were you saying?
I was saying, you know, it's actually this capacity for people to take the piss out of each other mm-hmm. from time to time, you know, ethnic bants.
Yeah, yeah, before Rahoa.
That's the only thing standing between us and a accelerated Rahoa.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if we can't let out steam, just being like, what are you monkeys up to?
Yeah.
then it's just only going to let itself out in a much more violent way. And, you know, maybe some people are into that. I acknowledge that that's a thing some people are into.
Yeah.
But, you know, take this as free advice from us, that being able to make crack jokes is something you're going to want to let us do, at mm-hmm. least for a bit longer.
Yeah.
Because if you really start to clamp down on us, well, then we're not going to take too fucking kindly to that much earlier on in life.
Hmm.
It's the Streisand effect, baby. Don't think you can hide. We'll find out who's behind it. We always do. We'll be here to tell them.
That's right. Sorry, I'm like going down the... You know how you go on Wikipedia and you're going down like a random hole of just information? I somehow landed on Orania in South Africa, the whites only city.
What are promposals like in Orania?
I'll run ya a train tonight. I don't know. That implies other people more than one, so no. Whoa, they have their own banknotes? That's awesome. See, this is what... Man. People hate white people. Why do they do that? That sucks. We're good. We're beautiful. We're also vicious and fierce. We can be. I admit it.
Jokes are going to be at least your problems.
Is there anything else we want to talk about?
I don't know. Here's a one with it looks like two white people, but the sign says, I may not be the right color, and then in parentheses, it's a Snickers bar, but prom, and it's got a watermelon on it, and I guess she gave this guy a pack of Kool-Aid and some watermelon.
Oh.
And, you know, there's the implied Snigger joke.
Oh, did you hear about this? The Negro Motorist Green Book?
Do tell.
It was an annual guidebook for African American road trippers, and it talked about like
which counties to not be caught out after dark, right?
Yeah. Talked about sundown towns, or places that blacks couldn't be when it was sundown. Well, now we have to have books that say like don't go here after sundown if you're white. I mean,
yeah, because you're gonna get fucking robbed.
Yeah, you're gonna get fucking robbed. You're gonna get killed.
One is don't be caught after dark as a matter of policy. The other one's don't be caught out of dark for your own good. Out of common sense.
I think that's the funniest name, the Negro Motorist Green Book. It's just like, I don't know why. And the Negro Motorist.
NMGB.
New form of black metal.
Negro Motorist Black Metal.
It became the black... I mean, the Bible of Black Travel during Jim Crow. Isn't that crazy? We used to have places like...
Sundown! Get out of my town! I want no Negro to be found!
Well, like, look at this. This is something from 1938 in Ohio. We gather to white trade only. It's at our front of a restaurant. I like the very white way of saying, no niggers allowed. We gather to white trade only.
It's if he's a clever enough Negro by law of or just by way of reduction there
mm-hmm.
process of elimination, he figures out, oh well, that's not me, better keep moving.
If we did a book like this now, though, it'd be racist.
Hmm.
Basically,
what
said
if we,
don't.
What if we made it woke? Maybe like Tyler Perry, Madea doesn't show up here after sundown.
Oh my gosh, that'd be funny.
Tyler Perry's Madea goes away after sundown.
Madea goes away. Oh gosh.
show title.
I always like how he has to put his name in the title of the movie.
It's well, like, I mean, that's, nigga, that's I directed this.
I'm not going to fault the man for preserving his nest egg.
Look at this.
Okay, this is funny. The unofficial slogan of Anna, Illinois, which is spelled A-N-N-A, which had violently expelled its African-American population in 1909 was Ain't No Niggers Allowed. Like A-N-N-A, Anna, Illinois. Yeah. That's...
Ain't a nigger allowed.
Ain't no nigger allowed.
Wonderful. Well,
like, here's the thing that people don't realize. This wasn't just like the South, right? This was happening everywhere across the U.S. California.
Well, okay. We're talking about Indiana here.
No, Illinois.
Right?
No,
you said Anna is Indiana? Or...
Illinois.
Oh, but, really? Okay. Yeah. Is it close to Indiana, though?
No, but I'm saying, like, they have lists here. They have Michigan, Glendale, California, Levittown.
Levittown?
Oh, God.
So, like, they have places like this, like, all across the U.S. Delaware, like, everywhere. It was like this, but...
I wonder what the demographics of Anna, Illinois are today.
Let's see. It's only 4,000 people, so it is 95% white.
Hey, it worked.
It did.
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, that's funny. That's really funny. Well, Indiana's an interesting place. Speaking of Indiana, my grandpa is from Indiana, but like Southern Indiana. It's not what you think over there in Southern Indiana. It's like below.
Indiana's the Klan capital of the United States.
Yeah. Well, that's where my family's from, buddy.
You descended from Klansmen.
I might be. Dude, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, Plugin seriously. Based.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Come here.
Indianapolis was the total Aryan victory city.
How is it now?
I mean, the parts like, I've seen, fine.
It's like not nearly like a Chicago or anything, huh?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there are some cities out there that are still relatively nice compared to other cities.
I'm told don't go to Gary.
Oh, of course not. Everyone knows that shit. Let's see. It's 56% non-Hispanic white in Indianapolis. For a big city, that's decent, which is sad.
56%, you say?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. But it is 28% Negro.
Interesting.
You know what's total Aryan victory is? Salt Lake City, Utah. Even today, like, it's still kind of, like, it sucks. But, like, back in the 50s and 60s, it was a decent-sized city, but it was, like, literally, like, 99% white. But when I went there, I was pretty surprised that, you know, when I drove through there and we stopped there for a few days, I'm like, whoa, this is a big city, but it's not like incredibly ghetto. Yeah, there are a few bad parts, you know, because they have some of them Polynesians and Mexicans and stuff like that. But besides that, it's pretty nice for a big city.
You say that now, but
hopefully
just you wait, son.
I know, it's make me. It's like one of my
day
favorite
it's
cities.
It's called the Salt Lake City.
Hey, what?
The Salt Lake City.
Probably is already for some people. I mean, it's bad compared to the other cities in Utah, but it's still like.
What's another big city in Utah?
Provo. That's the second biggest one, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe. That's like 90% white, I think. But it's not really big, like a big city. It's like pretty small,
yeah,
actually.
I figure that there's only one place that you really know of in Utah. It's Salt Lake City. Everything else is just Utah.
Yeah, more or less. So this is the Salt Lake City metropolitan area. Is 86% white as of 2000, which is good. It's white man land, I tell you. I love Utah.
Good for Utah.
Yeah, I love Utah, seriously. Is there anything else you want to talk about, buddy? You talk about?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Well, do you want to say goodbye to the audience? I didn't put an ending last time because I was tired of our theme song, and I was going to create a new one, but it wasn't good, so I didn't put it. So, yeah. Maybe either you guys give me an idea, like a style to go after, or like give me an actual song that's like doesn't have copyright and I could use it.
Yeah,
I don't want to take anyone else's song. Yeah, it is hard to find. I don't know. Like a MIDI song. I don't know. But, yeah, well, my name is Anglo. With me, I have Nike.
Thank you for listening.
And see you later.